Well, this has turned into a crazy second round series between the Warriors and Grizzlies. It's not just crazy on the court. You got the Twitter frenzy. You got media people using the word hate to describe the Warriors. Kylan, I don't know if you've experienced anything like this before, but it's a wild ride. We're going live to answer any Dub Nation questions, anybody's questions and comments. Are you ready to go?
I'm ready to go. I mean, it has been a wild ride. I'm like buckling in. This is a roller coaster. I just love now in 2022, the playoffs. Like, it's not just beef on the court. It's turned into beef on Twitter amongst fan bases, media members. Like, this is as heated as I feel like I've seen it. And granted, there's a lot of, you know, Twitter banter on all kinds of sports, but this just has been taken to a new level, Si. Like, I am just floored.
Oh, we're going to dive into it. This is Locked On Warriors.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On Warriors your first listen every day. We're free and available wherever you get podcasts. You can follow Kylan Mills on Twitter at Kylan Mills. You can follow me on Twitter, Cyrus Sotz, is at Dog Surf Roadshow. Kylan, game three is tomorrow, Saturday at Chase Center. What a relief that the Warriors are home. Like you mentioned, this has been a crazy few days between all the, I mean, obviously the suspensions, the comments. It's been a wild ride, in my opinion, just in the sense of so many people revealing true colors in a sense. Describe your feelings the last few days, besides battling a nasty cold, which I'm doing something myself for my stepson being sick. Beside that, how are you feeling about this week leading into game three tomorrow?
Oh man, Si, I'm expecting fireworks on the court. If it's anything like what the wild ride has been on social media, like I said, I just think it's really interesting now. 2022, this is what the playoffs has become, you know, like everything comes down and, you know, players are getting involved. We got Draymond Green responding, you know, so it's just kind of interesting that the banter carries over into Twitter and it's happening amongst the fan bases, amongst the different media members. And like I said, the players get involved in it too, at least when you've got, you know, an outspoken leader like Draymond Green. So it's been entertaining. It's been a little bit shocking. Like sometimes I'm like, what? You hate the Warriors? Okay, interesting. It's Gary Payton II's fault that he didn't land the right way. I'm sure you saw that tweet. I'm just like, what is happening? I don't know, but I'm expecting tomorrow to be a showdown.
Yeah, and actually who started that was Charles Barkley. He said it on the post game of Inside the NBA on TNT.
I heard that, yeah.
Or NBA on TNT, I'm sorry. Yeah, Barkley just came out. I mean, look, it doesn't surprise me. And people are asking, we had Jared Greenberg on the show yesterday, Barkley's colleague over at TNT. And Barkley's really old school. Like when you think about Barkley, you have to remember the 80s NBA. You have to remember Kurt Rambis being clotheslined by Kevin McHale. I mean, it was a rough and tumble world. So for him, when you think about words like soft, when you think about words like dirty, it's very different. It's just different to someone like him versus maybe someone like you and I who grew up and were seeing a more cleaner style of basketball. I'm going to show real quick. We're doing a live today. Disraeli Gutierrez Jamie says, let's go Warriors. Greetings from Vega Paja, Puerto Rico. Very nice. Have you been to Puerto Rico? I've never been there actually.
I have many, many years ago. I went on a cruise that left out of Puerto Rico. Beautiful place.
Yeah. I could gamble there too. Well, anyways, we're answering all your questions and comments here, but yeah, the Barkley thing, again, he said that, and I feel like it gave fuel to the Grizzly fan base. I think what's really lost here is the fact that someone got seriously injured here. And despite that, people seem to continually just focus on sports. It's like, he got hurt. Okay, great. But still, the Grizzlies are being disrespected. Let's take a step back here for a second and remember that this is just a game. And he wasn't just injured. He was seriously injured. I broke my elbow when I was 15, and I still feel it to this day. Elbow injuries are weird ones. It's different for everyone, obviously, but that's a serious injury. You have columnists in Memphis saying they hate the Warriors. I mean, that's the headline for a story. It's wild stuff. You mentioned Draymond Green. I want to play comments from him because what I thought was really fascinating in this last week, beside all the back and forth between the Grizzlies and the Warriors, is just how many people don't like Draymond Green. I think it's been kind of shelved a little bit because the Warriors have been relevant for two and a half years now. You know, they haven't been in the playoffs, but so Draymond hasn't really had the platform he has now, which is the postseason. You're one of the last eight teams. You know, there's a strong focus from the entire sports world on the Warriors. It's not just, you know, the NFL is taking a backseat right now. Baseball's taking a backseat. So basketball's at the forefront. And you have people like Skip Bayless coming out, you know, expressing blatant disdain toward Draymond. And then you also have Mike the Mad Dog Russo, who I personally have really liked, and I still do. But his comments that J.J. Redick retorted to with the Fox News allegory about the shut up and play, which I support you, J.J. That was a strong case to make, and I agree. So Draymond had his input on this on his podcast. And this is what Draymond had to say. And then, Kalen, I would love your feedback on this. But this is Draymond Green, his response to Mike the Mad Dog Russo's comment.
Yesterday, he goes on TV and he says, America is tired of Draymond Green. He then proceeds to say, shut up and play.
Shut up and play, will you please? America's tired of Draymond Green.
I'm not one to really pull the race car very often because I think, you know, we all know the role that race play in the world that we live in. But that definitely had a very racist connotation. Those shut up and play, shut up and dribble days, those are long gone. We don't listen to that anymore. We don't want to hear it anymore. It has no place here, and nor will it be tolerated. I also proceeded to say, it's time for you to go home and sit on your couch and thank the good Lord that I didn't want his job. I meant that from the bottom of my heart. Before I signed with Turner, I was actually offered a spot on First Take. The landscape of media is about to change. You will no longer be allowed to sit there and say what you want. You will no longer be allowed to put out these false narratives. You will no longer be able to allow to not know what you're talking about, and we're going to listen to you. Those days are long gone. You know why? Because we have guys like J.J. Redick, who's done it, who speaks it, who knows how to speak on any different topic, who's not afraid to shut an idiot up. When I say sincerely yours, the new media, you will be held accountable. And you will have to know what you're talking about in order to speak on esports. You will have to know what you're talking about in order to speak on this game of basketball. You know why? Because we're doing it now.
Kylan, he said a lot there, and he was up late last night, like I was, pathetically. What is your feedback on Draymond Green's comments there? He said a lot.
I think good for Draymond, first of all, for stepping up and clapping back. I mean, we're seeing it now and more with athletes. They have a platform. They have social media. They can genuinely put their own thoughts out there. And Draymond Green created his podcast for this exact reason, to put his thoughts out there and to clear the air. And kudos to Draymond for being, I think I heard it in several of the national media, just saying that Draymond is authentic. He is who he is. He's going to speak his mind. He's going to stand up for what he believes in. And I think he should be applauded for that, not told to shut up and dribble. I agree with him. Those days are long gone. I think the time is now for athletes to use their platforms in a positive way, to share their thoughts, to try to change the world. And we're seeing so many using it in a positive way. I mean, look at Steph Curry and all the things he does and the different causes he promotes using social media, using statements made off the court, using his power as a professional athlete and a star. And I just think that whole narrative is just getting old. The shut up and play, athletes aren't allowed to have opinions. They're people. They're allowed to have opinions, just like anyone else in any other profession. I mean, what gives you the right to say what you think as a broadcaster? Shouldn't you be shut up and be broadcasting? I mean, I that's my two cents on it.
Oh, I love your two cents. It's astute, and I agree with it. And what I really love is that Draymond Green, after he tweeted this clip, and then shortly after that, he added that he doesn't support cancel culture, that he's not advocating for Mike Mad Dog Russo to lose his job over this, but that, you know, like at the same time, he has his own point. And look, Russo is under hot water for this attribution, and rightfully so, because Draymond tweeted out something else. He was on fire last night, but he tweeted out this report,
I know, tweet
a story from Yeah, from 2014, published by the Washington Post, which highlighted racially, I'm trying to figure out how to, the right way to put this. Basically, Mike Russo said on a SiriusXM radio show that they're not hiring black radio hosts. They're not looking for black radio hosts. I didn't hear the clip. He obviously tried to correct himself and try to backtrack big time, but it's not a good look. You know, when you go down that road once in your life, you got to start being way more cautious with your words. And it just, you know, I just don't understand, I guess, why people hate Draymond so much. The part that blows my mind a little bit is people are trying to create this false equivalency between what Draymond did in game one, where he touched Brandon Clark's face, and then his hand, however you want to, you know, interpret that, his hand gets caught in his jersey, catches his jersey, but then he caught him as he's going down. So even though Jerry Greenberg said yesterday, and rightfully so, that the NBA cracks down on anything that looks like you might be hurting someone, he didn't hurt him. He tried to prevent hurting him. Gary Payne II is out for the rest of the year. This is someone who was, this was finally his moment. And it's just asinine. And it really begs the question, why do people hate Draymond so much? Is it just because he's outspoken? In which case, is outspokenness a trait of individuals that is just not welcomed in American society? I don't know. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. I think it's because he's an outspoken black athlete in America, very, very simply. And I think that the times are changing, but they're not changed yet to where a lot of he makes a lot of people uncomfortable sitting at home on their couch, watching their TV and on their Twitter. He makes people uncomfortable being a loud, outspoken and proud black athlete. And I think some people are uncomfortable by that. And that's why he takes the heat that he does, Sai. You know, I give him credit for never backing down and for not backing down. But I think that you cannot compare those two plays. I do think it is a little bit crazy. I mean, Gary Payton II was out in transition going full speed to the hoop. I mean, there. How do you go after a guy the way that Dylan Brooks did without injuring him? Whereas Draymond, it was a mix-up under the basket. You're both going up for, you know, they're both going up for a rebound. I just think it's a totally different context. And people are trying to, like you said, equivocate the two. I don't see it.
I don't see it either. And for the Grizzlies fans who are trying to, like, bring up that Jordan Poole came off the bench, look, it's there's that, nothing illegal about coming off the bench if a player on the court is hurt and you want to check on him. Right. And they're trying to make the case that, oh, he came off the bench during a quote unquote altercation. Learn what the word altercation means before you make those kind of statements. I want to throw in here real quick, because I love addressing as many of these comments that come in as possible on a live show. Robert Kitchens writes, the Warriors beat my Nuggets. Sorry, Robert. I don't know what the point was of that, but sorry. I don't know what else to tell you. Look, Built Bars are an amazing treat. Kylan, I've gained like 10 pounds in the last 2 weeks. I'm blaming my a binge Lucky Charms run, where I think I ate Lucky Charms every night for like a week straight and was having it for breakfast. My stepson asked for his birthday. He got it. And all of a sudden I'm like, wait, I'm putting on weight here. So I need to lose like a good 10, 15 pounds now. Summer is coming, and all the more so, right? You got pool days coming. You got beach days coming. One of the best ways to be healthy, one of the best ways to consume food without packing on unnecessary pounds while feeling good is eating those Built Bars. They're covered in 100% real chocolate. They've only got 4 grams of sugar per bar compared to 30 for a candy bar. And don't even start me on like sodas and stuff like that. Yet they have 17 grams of protein. So if you're working out, these are especially made for you. And even if you're just lazy and don't like to work out, don't be putting crap in your body. At least maintain the weight you got going and feel full just from eating one of these Built Bars. Again, just 130 calories per bar. They got amazing flavors, including banana cream pie, raspberry, double chocolate, my favorite, cookies and cream. Kylan, I got to get you a box of these. They are yummy. I'd love to get your feedback. Go to Built.com. Use the promo code LOCK15 and get 15% off your order. Again, the promo code is LOCK15 for 15% off at Built.com.
Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On Warriors your first listen every day. Make sure to go check out the Locked On NBA Big Board. Host Rafael Barlow from NBA Draft Junkies and author of the NBA Big Board newsletter is joined by Richard Stamen, Sam Ferris, and Leif Thulin, giving fans an in-depth look into the NBA draft, mock draft, player rankings, and of course, the big boards. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts. And Kylan Mills is free and available on Twitter. Just follow her at Kylan Mills. And you can follow me on Twitter at DogSurfRoadShow. Kylan, the news came down yesterday that Andre Iguodala is still out, and the earliest he's going to come back in this series will be game six. So in the grand scheme of things, I think it's safe to assume don't count on Andre Iguodala for this series. And I was kind of hoping for him in terms of his defense now that Gary Payton is out. What do you see tomorrow at Chase Center? I mean, I think the crowd is going to be fired up. Throw in there if you're going to go to the game or not, but what are you envisioning the Warriors are going to do to defend Ja Morant?
Yeah, that's the big question, Cy. I may go to the game. So I've been battling this cold. I don't want to go and get people sick. So I've been kind of, it's a game time decision. And I'm going and covering the game on Monday, though. So we've got two good games coming up, Saturday, Monday, games 3 and 4. By the way, Cy, I'm also waiting for my shipment of Built Bars. Like, you've been teasing this to me like the last couple of weeks. They sound delicious. So I'm going to hold you to that.
All right, I'll get you some. I'll order you some. Deal.
As far as game 3, though, the response for Ja Morant, obviously losing Gary Payton the second, a huge blow to the Warriors defense, and then finding out that Andre Iguodala will be reevaluated in a week, meaning that would maybe be the earliest he'll come back. I'm still skeptical about that. I said before the playoffs started, Cy, I don't see Andre being a huge factor just because he's been struggling with injuries all season long. His career is waning. He's a fantastic player, but I just don't know how much his body can handle at this point. The logical, to me, man-on-man defender would be Andrew Wiggins. All season long, he often guarded their opponent's best player. And Ja Morant did light up Jordan Poole, Klay Thompson, Steph Curry in game 2. And honestly, Wiggins too. But to me, he'd be the logical one-on-one defender you would slide on Ja Morant. However, that does leave a hole under the basket because Wiggins has been doing a good job grabbing boards. And that's something we have to talk about because the Warriors have been out-rebounding the team that led the league in rebounds in the regular season and in offensive boards in the regular season. So there's something to be said for that. However, you take Andrew Wiggins out, you know, from under the rim because he's been playing more of a four spot in light of their small ball lineup. And I would almost insert Kevon Looney back into the starting lineup. And we also got to keep in mind that Steven Adams is expected to return tomorrow. So that's another big body that could be under the hoop for the Grizzlies. And honestly, he's not unsimilar to Kevon Looney in that he's kind of just a big guy and he's a little bit slow. On the positive side, the Warriors can exploit his, you know, slowness and potentially get some buckets on the pick and roll. But I think Andrew Wiggins is the best option as far as guarding Ja Morant from the start. I wouldn't be surprised if we see some zone too. That's another option. Try to keep him outside and force him to take the three shots.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to subscribe to that. Just I saw someone or a few people, for example, mentioning, why not do a box in one? Maybe you could spring that on Jaw near the end. But the zone, I don't know if they can implement that just because this team is so deadly from three. There's a reason why Desmond Bane, I mean, he has the back injury, but they've clearly been schematically focusing it on him. And that's why he hasn't been murdering the Warriors so far. They're daring Jaw to shoot. It didn't work in game 1 for the Grizzlies. It worked in game 2. Yeah, I don't know if the zone's going to work. Real quick, I'm gonna obviously give my thoughts on the defensive thing as well. But first, some comments here from Kenneth Jackson. Memphis fans and media are ridiculous. Agreed. The fact that they are saying Gary Payton doesn't know how to land and that's why he's injured is stupid. It is stupid. And again, Barkley kind of started this whole thing. I really don't know what Barkley's beef is with the Warriors. He clearly has something there. I mean, I do think in this situation, he would have said the same thing regardless of who the player was, because he is old school. And his advice for defending the Warriors for years has always been to, quote unquote, touch him up. And they did. And unfortunately, he's covering his ass by trying to say, hey, he landed wrong, but they touched him up and this is what happens. But It's ridiculous. It is ridiculous to say, well, if only he had not extended his arm. It's like, how about if only he didn't get whacked in the head full steam in a borderline intentional manner. DP writes, ridiculous complaining about Jordan Poole coming off the bench. It's not as though he came out to trip everyone with a hockey stick. and in just a moment, I'm going to give some interesting stats about individual Warriors defenders on Ja Morant. Because those stats do exist. But first, I got to talk about betonline.net. They're your number one source for all your betting stats and sports information. Find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's basketball playoffs, the Major League Baseball regular season, and this weekend's run to the roses as the Kentucky Derby is back. That's an event I want to go see at some point in my life. I don't know if you've ever been, Kylan.
Yes, the line. I worked in Kentucky before this. I don't know if you discussed UK basketball, been to the Derby, absolute blast. Put on your bucket list.
Oh, yeah. So one of my all-time favorite journalists growing up, it was Hunter S. Thompson. And one of his most famous articles was covering the Kentucky Derby. And I've always considered horse racing to be a fascinating scene, just in the sense that you have this convergence of the hoity-toity elite of the world, and then at the same time, they're mingling with the biggest degenerates on the planet. Yep. And yet for some reason, it's like this symbiotic environment. I've never understood it. I love it, though. I've spent so much of my time in life at Del Mar Racetrack in San Diego. So oh, nice. You've been to the Kentucky Derby.
Yep.
Is it as incredible and insane as one can imagine? I mean, do you have any stories to tell about that? That's yeah, fascinating.
It's the most insane spectacle in sports. I mean, that's what I'm going to say about it. I've covered it 3 years when I lived in Lexington, and you described it perfectly in that it's like this bizarre combination, and like you've got these booths and, you know, the special VIP booths and all that, where you have some of like the richest people in horse racing. There's some very, very, very wealthy people with ownership stocks and whatever else in horses. Yep. Some of the richest people living in the hills of Kentucky. And then you go down, I'm trying to think of a good story I have. I mean, it didn't happen to me personally, but at the station I worked at, one of my coworkers, it's called the infield. It's like the dirt area where it's basically general admission. People, you see a lot of degenerates there, as you would describe it. A lot
yes, of the drunks. Overserved. The drunks are there.
A lot of people overserved. And we had a reporter who was on air get thrown up on. Like just like all over his shoulder, had like, and granted, we don't wear suits, but he had like a nice dress shirt on.
I think I've seen that video. Horrible. It's that went viral, I think. That's so wrong.
This was like 5 years ago, but I'm just glad it didn't happen to me. But it's just insane. You have to go there to experience it firsthand. There's no words to describe the Kentucky Derby.
Oh, that's a bucket list item for sure. My advice for any of you going ever to the track is bet on the jockey. Don't bet on the horse. You'd be surprised how much you could win. And the line for the Warriors-Grizzlies game, Warriors are favored by 7 in game 3. The over-under is 225.5. The money line, minus 285 for the Warriors, plus 240 for the Grizzlies. I think the Warriors will cover that. I think they're going to come out like gangbusters in game 3. No Dylan Brooks again, but this Grizzlies team is tough. Do you have any feelings one way or the other?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's kind of a bigger spread than I had expected. However, I struggle with it because I do think the home court advantage is going to be a huge thing. And also, I'll be very curious to see how the officiating is back at Chase Center, because that has been a huge factor in this series, in the playoffs. And if the Warriors get the same help the Grizzlies were getting on their home floor, I do see them covering the spread.
Agreed. It's so sad, the officials. Again, I've been beating this dead horse, so I'm done with the whole referee
right,
angle.
But you're right.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, but you're right. All I want is just consistency and fairness. I don't think I'm asking for much, but you're absolutely right that if it's in any regard, even or in the Warriors' favor, I think the Warriors clean house, silly. And again, just go to betonline.net for all those numbers, and BetOnline, it's where the game starts.
You are Locked On Warriors. Your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On Warriors your first listen every day. We're free and available wherever you get podcasts. You can follow Kylan Mills on Twitter at Kylan Mills. Let's go to a few comments here. We are recording this live today. DP writes, it's Dylan Brooks who does not know how to intentionally foul someone without causing injury. They can say what they want about Draymond, but he has the skill to avoid that. I wholeheartedly agree. No player has ever missed a game because of Draymond Green. Yes, he scratched a few eyes, and I'm not supporting that or doing that. And, he kicked a few people in the nuts 6 years ago. I'm not advocating or condoning that, but it didn't take anyone out of a game, certainly not of an entire season. Like what Dylan Brooks just did. I mean, it was just absolutely asinine. We have a listener. I'm not going to even begin to try to pronounce that name. Kylan, if you want to take a shot at that, you're a professional TV anchor. I feel like if anyone can do it, it's you. And if you can't do it, I can't do it. But they say, greetings from Poland. Cyrus, thanks for a great podcast. You're very welcome. And thanks to Kylan as well. And for everyone else who joins me on the show, can't do it without the people who are helping me out here and joining me. Karina Sims says, it's really disappointing with what happened to GP2, especially with Game 3 coming up. It's time to move on and get back to the bigger picture. This moment is an opportunity for Kuminga. I agree with that. Play Kuminga. You need him. I feel like he's needed. Yeah. Here's some stats I want to share with you, and I'll share this screen as well for the YouTube viewers, and I'll obviously verbalize this for everyone listening on the podcast. But these are the individual matchups, and these are the three players that Ja Morant is targeting the most. And I tweeted this last night. I don't know why I won something in the morning. I needed my rest, but I ended up staying up stupidly. So I in the two games in this series so far, Ja Morant has picked on Stephen Curry the most. What I mean by picked on the most is shot attempts. So he's shot more against Stephen Curry than anyone else, and he's been succeeding at it. He's 5 for 8 from the field, including 2 for 4 from three, while scoring 12 points on him in just 2 minutes and 40 seconds on play. To put it in perspective, Gary Payton II guarded Ja for a little over 3 minutes in this entire series, and Ja only scored 6 points on him in that time frame. Klay Thompson is next. He's given up 5 points in 3:59 of play. And so the defense is much more effective from Klay. Ja shooting 2 for 7 when Klay's guarding him, 1 for 3 from three. And then Wiggins, a player that I agree with you. I think Wiggins is going to get that assignment primarily. Let's hope it's not at the detriment of rebounding. Mm-hmm. 5 minutes of 33 seconds of play. So he's nearly doubled the amount of time guarding Ja that Steph has. He's given up half the points. Ja is shooting okay, 3 for 6 from the field, but when he's shooting outside with Wiggins on him, maybe the length is bothering him, who knows, he's just 0 for 2 from 3. So those are the primary individual defenders that Ja Morant is picking on, or at least targeting. Funny enough, I didn't post this in the tweet just because of the character limit. You know who the most effective defender has been on Ja so far in the postseason? Can you guess?
I don't know. Outside of Gary Payton II did a fantastic job before he got hurt, but surprise me.
Otto Porter Jr. Otto Porter Jr. has not been scored on against Ja Morant. In fact, Steve Kerr during yesterday's press conference actually alluded to the very impressive play of Otto Porter Jr., given that you're not seeing the points necessarily, but the rebounding, the toughness, I mean, he's really providing a huge boost for this team. And yeah, and Ja has, I got to look up the actual figures. Maybe I'll tweet that out after the show today. You can follow me on Twitter at DocSurfRoadShow. But Otto Porter Jr., amazingly, has been most effective. And I really think Draymond Green has to pick up that responsibility a little bit as well. He is the reigning defensive player of the year. He's got that 7-1 wingspan. I know you need him inside. But Ja is killing this team, and Gary Payton II was counted on to defend him. I don't know. What do you think? Would you like that? I mean, Larry Kruger was telling me he wasn't a big fan of the idea of Draymond defending Ja just because you're taking him away from the inside, and he doesn't know if Draymond can stay in front of Ja. I do not agree with that. I think he can. What are your thoughts about Draymond, one of the best defensive players we've ever seen, guarding Ja Morant?
Yeah, I think Draymond is a reasonable option. I still really think they need to hone in on Wiggins guarding Ja Morant. I think that's interesting, the stat about OPJ. He has been fantastic this series. I feel like we can't gloss over that. In minutes played, he has led the Warriors in rebounds, you know, per minutes. So he's been fantastic. He's been scrappy. I will say the shots haven't been falling for him, but I think that'll come. And he's still making himself extremely valuable. One of our commenters also mentioned the idea of Jonathan Kuminga guarding Ja Morant, which I think is an interesting idea. I think Jonathan Kuminga has the speed, he has the size, he has the athleticism to guard Ja Morant. So it is a concern with Draymond Green. I think being the defender of the year and being the smart defender that he is, that he can keep Morant in front of him. But Jonathan Kuminga, I think, is an option. But I have to echo Larry Kruger. You mentioned his concerns, just that you can't pull too many of these bigs away from under the basket and the inside because of how great this team is at rebounding. I mean, you look at the idea of, do you start to give the Grizzlies some second chance points because you're pulling all of, you know, some of our bigger players and best defenders away from the rim and, you know, and really putting all their energy into guarding John Morant and essentially guarding the point guard, you know, who's under the basket now at this point. So it's an interesting conundrum. I still, like I said, I really think Wiggins needs to take on the brunt of the workload. I don't mind Draymond Green and Jonathan Kuminga also taking on some of those roles. But I think you do have to be careful about not taking away inside because rebounding is what has kept the Warriors in the series, I think, so far. Winning the battle on the boards has been crucial to this being 1-1 right now. And I don't think you want to give that up.
That's very fair. And by the way, Kylan, who made that comment? What's that person's name? I can't see it.
Our friend from Poland, Greg Ortz. I was gonna say, don't. Hi.
I'll try to.
It's a broadcaster, but I am not good at doing any type of.
Well, that's
international spelling is great. So just
Gregors. Gregors has got to be the. Gregors Kowals. I give up. I try.
Yeah, we're so sorry.
My name was crazy.
That's a great question.
I thought my name was crazy. That's next level. DP adds some, giving some praise for Otto Porter Jr., saying he does not give up. I never saw such a big guy hit the floor so much. Yeah, I love the hustle from him.
Yeah, he's scrappy.
Yeah, and Kruger also wanted to add about Draymond is that he didn't want Draymond Green to get in foul trouble guarding Ja Morant. Here's my one feedback for Jonathan Kuminga, because I've seen that name mentioned as a possible defender. Yeah. In game two, his foot speed concerned me. He was assigned to guard Ja on a few possessions, and Ja was blowing right by him. I don't know if that's an inexperienced thing in terms of working on your footwork. Sorry to be redundant there. I don't know if it's just Jaws that fast and Kuminga, despite his athleticism, like he's 6'7", 6'8", Jaws 6'2". Maybe he just cannot keep up. But that concerned me. That gave me pause in regard to Kuminga guarding him. Still might. I mean, you never know. It was just one game. There could be adjustments made. Maybe what I saw is not representative of Kuminga's defensive abilities, but that did concern me a little bit. And with Draymond Green, he's the one thing I really hope he changes in his game for game three. And it's weird. We've barely seen him this series, right? He got the flagrant two at the beginning of game one.
Yeah.
He missed pretty much the entire first quarter in game two. And even when he came back, I mean, when your head is hit that hard, by the way, on a side note, no penalty for the elbow to the head, to the eye. Even, I mean, it's crazy. Even like people keep pointing at Draymond, like you caused a flagrant two, but did Brandon Clark look like he got in a boxing match, you know, from that play? Like, I mean, dude, it's crazy. Draymond's eyes just borderline completely shut. They're going running procedures on him to take blood out of the eye socket and the eye itself. It's wild, man. I mean, it's such a double standard I keep sensing here. Remember we've been talking about Bielitsa, by the way?
Yes, I heard your question. Yes.
Yeah, I gotta play that for the audience real quick. So I got in there in the press conference yesterday. I cannot thank Raymond Ritter enough and Steve Kerr and the Warriors organization for letting me slide in there every once in a while and ask these questions. So I was curious about Nemanja Bjelica. Look, I'm not going to pretend that Bjelica is going to be some difference maker in this series. All right. Like, I'm not advocating for Bjelica to play more minutes. I understand why he's not playing much now. But I didn't understand why in the Nuggets series, he got pulled out he played 4 minutes and change in game four, did not play at all in game five. And when he played, they were actually doing really good. So I just didn't understand why the change. Like, and maybe Kerr and company saw something I missed regarding his defensive speed. But anyways, I asked Steve Kerr about Nemanja Bjelica, and here's what he had to say.
All right, two more quick ones. Cyrus, go ahead.
Thanks, Coach. Thanks, Raymond. Nemanja Bjelica hasn't played since game four of the first round. He was playing relatively well. I'm wondering why he fell out of favor, and can we expect to see him again?
He's Belly is in a position where he's just got to stay ready. He could easily find himself out there. It's the playoffs. Everything's based on matchups. You know, he's in a position now where, you know, the way the league operates, it's tougher for guys in his position to stay on the floor across the league. So just kind of the way the game is being played. But we value Belly greatly. He's played really well for us early in the Denver series, and he could easily, as I said, find himself back out there.
That was a brilliant non-answer. Congratulations to Steve Kerr. respect. Yeah. So don't count on him this series. I was just curious. I had to ask. It's the journalist in me. Some comments here, and this is very true. The team has to improve the three-point shooting. They shot 18%.
18%, yeah.
That's crazy. Do you have any suspicion as to why that is? Like why Klay Thompson went 2 for 12, Curry only went 3 for 11. Any theories from your end, or do you think it was just an anomaly?
I think it was an anomaly. The Warriors aren't going to shoot 18% again, which is part of the reason why I like the fact that they were competitive in the series. And for a team that has predicated their offense on throwing up threes all season long, to shoot 18% and to still be in the game and competitive, I think that's a positive sign, because Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, and Jordan Poole aren't all going to be so off from beyond the arc on the same night the rest of the series. I don't think it happens, because I think it's an anomaly, and I think that you're going to see an improvement in shooting. With Klay Thompson, I feel like I continue to see a little bit of a pattern of him forcing the offense, forcing some of the shots up, which we've seen throughout his return a little bit, just because of the situation he's in, the extra pressure he's putting on himself, the fact that he hasn't been here and he's been looking so forward to this for so long. I just feel like he's, you know, forcing it a little bit, and he needs to let the game come to him. So as far as Klay Thompson goes, that's what I think part of the issue is. But I think Poole and Curry, Thompson all being off again, I just don't see it happening.
Yeah, Rick Barry was on Wednesday, and he attributed Clay's struggles to him not setting his feet when he was shooting. He felt like he was rushing a lot of his shots.
Rushing, I could see that.
Yeah, there was some truth to that. Here's an interesting one. First of all, I really want to address this. I want to address this one more time. I talked about this earlier in the show with Kylan from JSP Vlogs. Let's play zone again. It's you can't play zone against a team like Memphis, who can shoot the three the way they do. That's been one of the strategies of Kerr, is to eliminate and take away Bane, and to a lesser extent Dylan Brooks and their other three-point shooters, from going on these insane runs by hitting consecutive threes. And the zone just opens that up. It makes them vulnerable. You never know. You might see it, and it wouldn't surprise me if you saw it near the end of the game as sort of like a twist, as a wild card to throw in there, a last minute, a wrench to maybe surprise the Grizzlies. But it would not work over a longer period of time. You can't sustain the zone with an offense like that. Justin Hill writes, what do you think about putting Draymond in the dunker spot and playing him off ball by putting the ball in Steph or Jordan Poole's hands and letting them run pick and roll with Kuminga and Otto? That's a great point. You know, and I haven't mentioned this on the show yet. The Memphis Grizzlies were in the top three this year in terms of defending the split action, which is the motion offense the Warriors like to run.
Right.
And you've seen that. I mean, the Warriors offense at times has been stymied. Now, granted, you know, they make just a few more of those threes, and we're telling a totally different story here. Kylan, do you have any thoughts on that? I mean, that's not a bad idea. I do feel like the offense could make some adjustments here. What are your thoughts on that? That's a good point.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting point. I think it's definitely a good idea. I'll be curious to see. So part of what I brought up, Sai, is that if Steven Adams comes back, I think they can exploit some of the pick and roll a little bit more in this game with some of their slower players down low. I think there definitely could be some offensive adjustments, and I think that's not a bad one. I mean, Kuminga is another great option to run that. I don't know. Steve Kerr hopefully has some tricks up his sleeve, but I do like it. I think that they could definitely put Draymond in that off-ball position for sure.
Yeah, I could. You never know.
I could see it.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, because while the team needs to make some defensive adjustments with Gary Payne II out, the offense needs to make some tweaks as well. I mean, there's some things working, some things aren't working. You know, it's let's hope we see the pool party, JSP Vlogs. I think we're all excited for that. Any last words, Kylan? Do you have any predictions? I will say this before I throw it to you real quick here. I think both these games are must win for the Warriors. They got home court advantage. That was the ultimate goal going to Memphis. This is a dangerous team. I am going to maintain, I know I'm in the minority saying this, but I maintain and believe with conviction that this Grizzlies team is the biggest challenge to the Warriors. They win this series, and it's not going to be a cakewalk the rest of the way, but they got their toughest opponent out of the way. But they have to win games 3 and 4. These are vitally important games. I think game 3 will be a lot easier. Game 4 is going to be the one, I think, where it's really going to be tense, and you're going to have that must-win feel. Your thoughts on game 3 in these next two games?
I think the Warriors are going to come out, and I think they're going to roll the Grizzlies tomorrow back at home. We talked about a little bit of the advantage from the officiating. The crowd is going to be a huge factor. I think Chase Center is going to be rocking. One of the big things, and I feel like we've talked about it all playoffs, the Warriors need to clean up turnovers. Turnovers were a big factor in game two. Take care of the ball. Stop forcing the offense. Yeah. Move the ball a little bit better, because that's another thing the Warriors' offense has been predicated on. You mentioned the motion offense is moving the ball constantly.
Yep.
Don't force the first shot you see. Take that extra pass, which they've been good at all season long. But, you know, you get in these playoff situations and there's that extra pressure and extra sense of urgency. And I think they need to let the game come to them and let the offense flow naturally, you know, do what they've been doing all season long. And I think the Warriors will win. I think their shots will fall much better than they did in game two. I don't see all of their big guys, their big shooters outside missing and going 18% from three. It doesn't happen. So I think the Warriors are going to roll tomorrow night. I really, really do.
Oh, I hope so. Are you going to join me for, are you going to be on with me with Kruger following game three tomorrow?
If I'm not at the game, yes. If I'm at the game, right. I don't know where I'll go. It's going to be craziness. But what is your prediction, though? I want to hear.
First of all, I want to say, if you're worried about infecting others, I wouldn't worry, given Steven Adams is coming into town fresh off having COVID.
True.
So if he's okay to just walk around and potentially contaminate people, you're not contagious. So I would leave it up to how you feel. Just my opinion, obviously.
Yeah.
I think game three is going to be... I don't think any of these games are going to be blowouts. I think game three is going to be a comfortable 10-point win for the Warriors. Game four is the one where I'm going to be nervous.
Yeah.
I think game four is going to be the one where I'm going to sit there and it's probably going to be close. And either the Warriors are going to win by two or three, and I'm going to celebrate, because that's going to mean they're going to win this series in six. And if they lose, anything could happen. I mean, I cannot rule the Warriors out, but I have also not pressed the panic button all season. If they lose game four, I will press a panic button. I will officially be really concerned, because I don't want the Warriors to have to win another game in Memphis. That is just, I mean, I'll say this about the Grizzlies, man. They have turned into public enemy number one. They are officially, by a mile, my most hated team in the NBA. And look, good for the product. I mean, the NBA is probably relishing this. They were probably loving all this drama. I mean, I don't think they love the injury. I hope not. But all the disdain, the genuine emotions that are pouring into the series between the two fan bases, media members, the organizations themselves. I'm really curious to see what Draymond Green's response is in game three and four. By the way, look at JSP showing you some fashion love, the leather biker jacket. 100. I know I respect it. I totally respect it. Like it. Where do you buy that? Is that a San Francisco purchase or a Chicago purchase or somewhere else?
This is actually a rental. So I use, as many broadcasters do, actually very popular for female broadcasters. I use a rental service where you can send your clothes back and forth. There's Rent the Runway and Fashion Pass I both use. So can't take full credit, but when you got to change out the wardrobe a lot, it is the most efficient way to go.
Well, you picked that jacket, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so take credit.
Okay, I'll take some credit. I mean, I'll take some credit.
Yeah, unless you got a stylist who is picking these things for you. Yeah, I say take full credit. And right, I agree, man. Right. A great, great fashion shot. By the way, our Polish friend, just wrapping the show up here, says, call me Greg. So sounds good.
Thank you, Greg. We appreciate that. Make it easy on us.
So one last comment. From David Tapia, guess we are bound to get more D. Lee over Moody. I'm not entirely opposed to it. I know D. Lee is kind of a polarizing figure on this Warriors roster. He's obviously better suited as your 14th, 15th man, only seeing time in garbage minutes. But he's a veteran. You know, he has size for a guard. He is 6'5", and you know, he could, in today's game, 6'5" is actually semi-legitimate. I would like to see Moody, though. I mean, look, I'm not the coach. I can't make that call, but I would like to see Moody. Are you feeling that way too, Kylan? Like, do you want to see Moody, or do you feel like let's wait till next year?
I want to see Moody. I think Moody could contribute, and I think he could get some meaningful minutes off the bench. He's another big guard, too. He's big. He's got size. He's athletic. I would like to see Moody. I think he proved himself during the regular season to earn at least some type of role in the playoffs. However, it's been clear Steve Kerr has been deferring to his vets from the beginning of the playoffs when it comes to who he really trusts. You know, we saw D. Lee get inserted in the middle of, you know, game one. And so I don't know if we'll see Moody, but I think he deserves a chance.
Yeah, I'm absolutely with you. And Justin, just in case you missed it a moment ago, we made our predictions. Kylan, you think it's going to be what is your full prediction for Game 3? Is it going to be a blowout? Is it going to be close? Like, are we going to be on the edge of our seats? Like, do you think it's going to be comfortable, nice, relaxing, give me another cocktail night? Like, what are you feeling?
I don't think it's going to be necessarily a blowout. I don't think with this Grizzlies team, the way they battle and how physical we are, we saw them last game, they're fast, they're physical, aggressive. I don't think there's ever going to be a blowout because they're not a team that's going to give up. But I do think it's a comfortable win for the Warriors. I do think they'll cover the 7-point spread like we talked about earlier in the show. I could see the Warriors winning by 9 or 10, maybe. I think that the crowd's going to be a huge factor. Shots are going to fall. I saw in the comments somewhere Wiggins is going to have a huge defensive game. I do think it's going to come together. The Warriors get a comfortable win, 9-point win, I'm going to call it. I'm not quite to the double digits, but I'm going to say 9-point win for the Warriors. I think game 4 is the game to watch.
I'm absolutely with you. And the line is 7. I would not advocate. I don't feel strongly enough to put money on it, but I do think they're going to cover that spread. Stupid dumbass child. If your goal was to have me say your name, congrats, because I love the praise. We love you. I love you too. Stupid dumbass child. That is the actual YouTube name of that person. All right. So that is your show. You can follow Kylan Mills on Twitter at Kylan Mills. Always a pleasure. And good luck, Dub Nation. And for anyone going to the game, make some damn noise, please. I mean, let the Grizzlies know where they are, right? They're not at the comfy confines of their Beale Street Arena. They are now in San Francisco. Don't act like a wine and cheese snob. Act like a true Warriors fan. Make some damn noise and say some things to the ref that'll scare them, please. just make it known where they are. Like, we need some noise. We need that home court advantage. It's not Roracle, but let's at least make it close. So, Kylan, it's always a pleasure. I'm sure we'll see you soon. And thanks, everyone.